obviously this is a crazy night. I'm freaking out. Seriously, guys, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What is this place? This is like home court advantage. Wow, there is so much faith. There's going to be hardly any work to do tonight. But here's the thing tonight, is pregame. Five things I'm excited about. Amanda leading worship from Los Angeles, Expressions 58, jumped on a plane, came to a crazy garage gathering at my house, wrote a song that's probably going to be on the radio, ends up on the stage. Jim, the bass player, broke out in a wild move. I saw it for just a couple of seconds. He has knocked himself out because he moves his neck so wildly. Vertebrae, something happens in the nervous system, and he goes down to the ground. We have one of the craziest bass players from LA on the stage, comes to my garage. It's insane. I can't believe this band. I don't know what's happening. Then, so exciting because musicians are just, they're just gathering. Let me tell you this third thing I'm excited about. You know, musicians right now, this is amazing. Their lifestyles, what you guys don't see is how they live each day. I get to see it. There is such a radicalism in terms of servanthood and love behind the scenes. I get to live with Lindy. I'm telling you, my wife, Christy's here tonight. I'll talk about that. It's the fourth thing I'm excited about. But Lindy is such a servant in my house. She loves our family so many times. It's not just love. She's literally saved us over and over again as we've struggled through illness. Lindy is such a radical, come low, whatever it takes. And, you know, we see her up front, and she just, to me, like, just destroys rooms. But it's because she destroys rooms when no one's in there but two people who need help. So what an honor to even have her introduce me, because I get to see her all day, all the time. And she's in Kona with you guys this week. What's going to happen to you guys as a result of that? My wife, Christy, as many of you know and don't know, you know, I'm a black and white, and Christy is the color. And that's why I fell in love with her, because I lived in a black and white world. And I needed someone to come in and add color to it and make it beautiful. And Christy walked into my life. And ever since then, she's been painting pictures. And that's her prophetic gift, just picture after picture from the Lord. The most beautiful things that God is doing on the earth are in people's lives. And then I, a lot of times, get to announce them and say them out loud. And we have the most amazing marriage team. And she's literally been in her bed, literally so sick for 18 months. And I have booked her ticket to so many things. I have so many canceled tickets. This time she was able to get on the plane and come. Christy Brent, where are you, beautiful one? I love you. You're amazing. The fifth thing I'm excited about pregame is Dave Gibbons is an amazing friend of mine in California, pastor of New Song Church. And I just walked over there, and where's his son at? Where'd he go? And I didn't even get to go to the wedding. I didn't get to go to the postgame wedding. And then you guys walk in. Now I feel like I was part of the whole show. Congratulations to your new marriage. We were all with you. You guys are beautiful, man. Incredible, bro. You're so cool, dude. Praise God for you and your ministry. All right. Here's the deal. We want to talk about faith. Now, you can talk about faith sometimes and, you know, kind of make it, you know, I don't know, just kind of speak into faith, and there's a little bit of an upgrade. I want us to talk about Bible faith tonight so that you don't just have an upgrade, but you have a radical encounter with Jesus Christ that shifts you forever out of normalcy into your true destiny. That's it. Now, I can tell right now that everyone in this room is about to get an upgrade. Okay, now let's talk about faith for a minute. Holy Spirit, come now. Faith is, I'm telling you, faith, I have found out in my life, I am 49 years old, Christian, I've been married 26 years. For all of my adult life, I have lived, you need to understand this, that's why I have a reason to say this to you tonight, I have lived with suffering. Christy has been sick our entire marriage. And 6-7 years ago, I got ill with an autoimmune disease. And we live and labor through the reality of physical and severe limitations. And so when I want to say something to you. I literally don't know a Christmas, a birthday. I don't remember any of them that I did not have to do them and labor through illness. I don't know one of the circuit rider schools. I remember the second circuit rider school. I literally got pneumonia in Orlando, and I never was able to shake it until October, 4 months later, because of my lung condition. I know what it's like to labor through difficulty. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You need to watch that. So if I'm going to come to you tonight and talk to you about faith, I'm not giving you a sermon. I'm giving you a message from the Lord.
Come on.
That's the message I live out. The message, the only choice I had early on was either I was going to live a normal, scared life of all that was happening around me, or there was somewhere else I could live in Christ that would change everything in my life, regardless of the circumstances that I looked at. And I was able to enter into a joy that I never knew before. And the access point for me was moving into a new dimension of trust with Jesus. So tonight, when you talk about faith, I want you to use the word trust. There's a trust movement in your heart. And how many of us know what it's like to live in the in-between zone between God speaking and doubt and stepping out? The most miserable place to live is in between. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
The most miserable place. You can be around exciting people. You can be around exciting downloads, exciting worship times. But yet, if you are living in between the moment of God speaking, you heard Him, and leaping into action, that's the in-between zone. We want to graduate from the in-between zone in this room into radical faith. Why? Because there's a wave coming in America and in the nations of the earth that they're tight for first. There is something coming that God is saying, prepare the way. I have a harvest. There's a harvest. There's a harvest. This isn't pocket prophecy. This is a reality, because the Bible says that the harvest is white. It's white. It's ready all across the earth. Even in the time of Jesus, we just have a labor issue. There's been a labor issue from the beginning of time. Jesus said, pray the laborers would be sent because the harvest is ready. And isn't it funny how each generation has a different outlook on their condition? Since the time of Jesus, every generation has a different perspective on their time on the earth. There have been seasons on the earth where a generation chose radical faith. And their generation is a generation that we celebrate. Even though it might have happened 300 or 400 or 500 years ago, we still talk about the heroes of that generation. Each generation has a choice of what they're going to do with the time that they're on the earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
You have a choice to make. No one can make it for you. Is it possible that every generation from the time of Jesus had a radical harvest for that generation that Jesus had planned? And every generation had a choice to make about whether or not they were going to believe Christ and the awesome message of Jesus and bring it to the lost in their generation. Then I'm saying to you that Lauren Cunningham has told us that a great wave is coming, and that literally in the next 7 years, more people, or something like that, 8 years, are going to come to Christ than since the time that Jesus walked on. That means up to hundreds of millions of people potentially could come to Christ. So if he's saying that, and others are saying that all around the world, the way you test prophecy is you see if many are saying the same thing. So many in the body of Christ are saying something's happening. So you must be the greatest activist generation then. So then show me it. Because this is your hour. This is the hour now that God has designed for your generation. Literally, you're it. Here we go. Are you in? Where you sit tonight is the place, dude. It's on as of tonight. There's no more decisions to make. Let me tell you a story. You remember the sexual revolution when it hit in the Bay Area? Maybe you don't remember. But there was something in the ground of America. There was a discontent with the formalism and the rules of religion. And so in some garages, Jimi Hendrix and others, they began to play their songs. And they were playing in garages. They were playing in basements. They were playing something that they felt their generation wanted to hear. And all across America, there was a discontent. There was something in the heart of young people. And how many of us know that Jesus had a solution? It was the Jesus movement. And it was headed to America, but right before it's going to kick off, the sexual revolution just hits into overdrive. And there's a huge explosion of people reacting to it with music. Do you remember that? Music hit one summer, and the whole world heard the songs of Woodstock and all that occurred. Are you tracking this?
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you something. The enemy has a plan. Jesus has a plan. They're contending. Our job right now is, I'm telling you, in America and in nations, there is a discontent among young people. They are the same discontent that was in that generation, the 60s, is appearing once again in college students around the world, and high school students around the world, and junior high students around the world. There's something inside of them that is tired of the same old thing. There's something inside of them that's saying, I want something different. Do you hear me? Whether you see it or not, I'm telling you the conditions because that's where I live. I'm watching it on 22 universities in California. Young people are saying, what? They don't even know what they want. We're at the moment on the clock where there's a great cry in the human heart. I want something different. I don't want religion anymore. I don't want this anymore. I don't want this anymore. This is the time to write a song.
Yeah.
And that's what they did in the 60s. These guys, they didn't know what they were doing. They're writing it in garages. They're writing it in basements. They're writing it. And they began to sing those songs, their generation. And the generation reacted, and there was a reaction of rebellion. Are you tracking this?
Yeah.
And it exploded. But I wonder what would happen if all of us started to prepare the sound that would meet the discontent of a generation, and we would meet in the field this time, and it would not be later after all of a sudden, wow, there's a great move of people that just moved into crazy things. But you know what? The enemy always brings the same three things. More sex. That's his movement. More sex, more rebellion, meaning just more rule breaking just for the sake of it, and more anger. Are you hearing this? More hatred. More dissolve, more deterioration, and it never satisfies, does it? At the end of his run, everyone's just left cratered. The Jesus of the scriptures is waiting, daring us to believe that if we would introduce him to every university student in the world, that his movement of love and who he is would be so compelling that not one student would not want an encounter. I came to you tonight more as a prophet to tell you, the Lord is asking us to arise in faith in this hour and say, I want to prepare the way. I want to prepare the sound. So this is why circuit riders arose. Circuit riders was a reaction to say we should prepare mobile preachers and teachers and disciplers and revivalists and musicians that would work all together with anyone in the body of Christ to awaken believers and to save the lost and to send them out in every direction to catalyze love, to catalyze sounds, to catalyze people into activation. So Circuit Riders has come here, and by divine providence, what it does is it catalyzes you. In other words, what it does, if you've been affected by this tonight, it's like the Lord wants to pick you up and throw you into action. So you can't be thrown into action against your will. The Holy Spirit's way too nice. So I'm asking you tonight, as we get into what faith is, how many of us would say, I want to be fully awakened and readied like never before for creativity, for new ingenuity, for new innovation, for new things that would strike your generation and sweep them off their feet. And that Jesus is the only solution. We know He's the message, but we're ready for the most creative, ingenuity, innovative, like all of you being just like released into just like divine providence of artistic creation, creating every single painting on the picture that would mesmerize your generation. Then you got to get out of the box, my friends, and completely leap out of all the rules and jump. Not the rules of like normal, but the rules of conditional thinking, and start thinking like Jesus is thinking, that there is a harvest for your generation, and it's a race to the field for the artists. It's a race to the field for the musicians. It's a race to the field for the communicators. It's a race to the field for the disciples. It's a race to the field, and Satan is running, and we're going to outrun him. So faith. Go back to my notes. I sense in you tonight great faith. But increasing faith is needed. I know there's many DTSs here. There's Awaken. I was here last night during the roll call and business leaders, DTS and others. I don't remember all the names. Zandy didn't either. So that's fine. It's not that I don't want to. No one wrote them down. So I just look at you as a huge family of wild ones and crazy leaders ready for anything. Okay. So here's what faith is. Let's look at this real quick. Do you have a few more minutes? And without faith, Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, say without faith. It's impossible to please God. You have to have faith. Okay, we're going to talk about what faith is. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. James 1:7-8. The man that doubts, should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord because he's double-minded. He's unstable in all that he does. So remember this. Who receives nothing from the Lord? Double-minded. And so when there's an unbelief-faith mixture, I often see people stalled in their calling. So how many of us tonight say, you sense a stall? I sense it tonight. There's a stall in your call. And you got to want it now, baby. You got to want this. I don't want it more than you. Like, normal speaking is when I motivate you and inspire you to an action. I'm saying deep down in your heart, you know it's right. And you've got to arise in faith. And I'll explain to you what to do. Yeah. All of you together, all of you together. Yeah. All right? Jesus tells us this in Matthew 21. He says, Jesus tells you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, remember that? Fig tree, he just spoke to it and it died. But also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So mountains move out of faith. Now there's a mountain of unbelief in so many nations that Jesus Christ could really arise. How many of us have heard the stories of where Jesus can move and not move? He can move in this nation. He can't move in that nation. What if all that was a spoof, and in every single nation on the earth, Jesus can be Jesus from the scriptures? That means that every one of your outreaches is headed into the zone of miracles. Every one of your outreaches is headed into a moment where you could completely see the most crazy salvations, the most wild outcomes imaginable. That's why you're in this room. That's why you came to YWAM. And that's why you're here on Monday night. All right? So it's prayer. How are sick people healed? James 5:15, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. So literally in the scriptures, over and over again, the Lord would say often this line. He says, Luke 1:35-38, he says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. So there's great faith in Mary. I'm going to read another scripture. Andy taught on this December. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished. And he said to those following, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. He could not do any miracles there, Mark 6, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. So over and over in Scripture, faith is part of what catalyzes. So what is faith? I'm going to explain it to you. Faith is not faith in faith. It's not mind power. In other words, it's not getting like a positive thought. Like it's not like me right now that I go, I think me in a white shirt is the best. And I just start saying to myself, white shirt, white shirt, white shirt. It's the best, it's the best, it's the best. I declare, I declare, I declare, I affirm, I affirm, I affirm. White shirt, best, white shirt, best, white shirt, best. Until one moment I go, whoa, I now believe that when I wear a white shirt, it's the best. Okay? That's not mind power where you could walk over to your old car and just say it's a Nissan from like a couple, 15 years ago. It's a beat machine. And you walk up to it and say, in Jesus' name, I believe this beat machine is really a sweet ride and it can really handle the curves. No, your beat machine needs new shocks, needs new struts, the tires are bald, and it can't handle the curves. And so mind powers will not heal the old machine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You cannot stand there and say, I believe she's coming, I believe she's coming, I believe she's coming, I believe she's coming, and just there she is, she's going to come. You know, you cannot mind power your way into a date. You cannot say to your outreach team, we're going to have an amazing outreach, we're going to have an amazing outreach. In other words, let's sing the song 100 hours in a row. We will have an amazing outreach, we will have an amazing outreach, we'll have an amazing outreach, we'll have amazing outreach. That repeating sentences is not what faith is. Otherwise, we could say crazy stuff and get it to do it. Right? I believe, what could we believe for? I believe that ice cream would be served at Ohana Court by 9. I believe that everyone would have a Mountain Dew by 8:30. I believe that literally everyone would have $100 tomorrow morning mailed to them and it would come at FedEx. We would start, isn't that what, oh, that's all that weird teaching, and it just kind of, people putting their hope in like mind power. But faith has to go beyond that. In other words, that you're able to believe Jesus for what he says in Scripture and put your trust in him and in his plan, regardless of whether you see it that day or you see it like Noah many years later or like Abraham at the tail end of his life, more to come after his life. In other words, faith believes God and trusts that God cannot lie and that what he says will come to pass. Whether partly in your life or fully in the next life or in some generation still to come, faith operates knowing the end of the story is still going to happen, whether you have a flat tire or not. And that's what I learned along the journey that releases tremendous joy. I had to overcome, how many of us know, those of us that are from the Western world, that we love immediate miracles? Like the microwave moment. Just, God, I just pray, and then 10 minutes later, it's an answer. I love it, you love it, we always should love it, that is the best, 10-minute answers, I love them. Who doesn't love them? You should want one right now. But not always does the Lord give us 10-minute answers. And so there's moments in our life where we step out in faith and say, God, I believe you. And YWAM was built on such an event. And so great lives are often traced back to great moments where great faith was exhibited in Christ. And that generation or an individual went on then to keep plowing day after day after day, trusting God and believing God for an outcome that was unprecedented in their life, in their marriage life, or in their generation. Are you hearing this? So what I had to do is I had to learn that when I prayed for Christy, if she wasn't instantly healed or better, that God had still answered. And then as I prayed for her, that God, by faith, I said, God would say, I'm using it. You praying, you knocking on this door is having great effect. But Lord, I didn't see the answer right away. No, it's having enormous effect. Keep knocking. But Lord, I don't want to keep knocking. In other words, God taught me to keep knocking on the door, but knocking with joy and excitement and expectation. How many of us know what it's like to knock on the door of the Lord and be angry if he doesn't answer it right away? Or offended when he doesn't give us exactly what we thought? Or bothered or agitated or irritated when it comes in a different way? Is it possible that the very prayer you've been asking your whole life is getting answered?
Amen.
What is? The Lord is not a liar. He doesn't fake it, dude. He finishes what he started. Okay? So you say, well, so what I'm talking about tonight is a culture of faith. It's believing God for exactly what he says. So this is where I came to. Can I tell you this? Are you guys got another minute?
Yeah.
So unbelief to me, as I began to observe it and I began to understand it, I realized that when I was functioning in trust towards Christ and believing Jesus, I found myself five things change in my life. One, you ready for this? Anger was gone. I found myself, my anger was linked to my lack of trust towards Christ. Number two, are you hearing this? Number two, I found myself, when faith just rocketed in my life and I began to see it, I saw the second thing was I tended to be not offended. I tended to be more excited and filled with love for people when I operated in faith. In other words, everybody could point out what was wrong with someone, but Jesus seemed to be always pointing out what was right with people. And so the greater the faith, and it's not that he doesn't correct us, the greater I was able to love other people where they were at. You guys hearing this? So joy started going through the roof. Number three. How many of us know that when God gives us a promise, what I noticed in my life is that when I stepped out in faith, and here's what happened. I was in Kona, Hawaii, and we were doing the circuit ride of the first school. There were 300-400 students there because Awaken joined us, I think, towards the end. And Lou Engle was speaking. And he was sweating through his clothes, and I remember exactly where I was. And I was so excited, and all of us were so excited, because God's love was just breaking through. And we started having faith again at a whole new level that God could do something in America and every nation of the world. Are you hearing? Are you guys? I just wanted to climb in the story. So there I was sitting in my chair. We lived right down the street in Kona, Hawaii. And living in Kona, Hawaii, to me, is one of the greatest privileges you could ever have. If God assigns you to Kona, Hawaii, I just want you to know that that means the Lord loves you incredibly. Okay, for those of us that get to live in Kona, Hawaii, I know you all love it here, but just for those of us that live in other places of the world, coming to this court on Thursday night or any other time you guys are meeting is the most heavenly experience to be around this many joy-filled followers of Christ in this level of concentration. It is like crazy, wild joy. You miss it when you're not here. So Christy, my wife, and I had been praying, and she said, look, I think God's calling us to California to to see if the soil of America is ready for harvest. And she goes, it's going to be confirmed if at least 100 students tell you they want to go to California. I go, that's great. That's a lot of people. I'll just wait. I remember after Lou began to speak, literally by that day, dozens of people started having dreams and visions about going to California. I was probably 45 deep in by noon the following day. By the following day, it was so overconfirmed, it was ridiculous confirmed. How many of you have ever had a word confirmed and you still didn't believe it? I know, I get it. I see that. I just wanted you to see it. It was more about you right there than me. And so, because it's funny, isn't it? My wife prayed, it's confirmed 100 times. I'm still in the moment of like, I'm sure it's just, how are we going to do it? But we had bought one-way tickets to California. How many of us know that when you buy a one-way ticket, you kind of hope there's a back-way ticket on the other side of the one-way ticket? Although it sounds really elegant. We bought a one-way ticket. Like you're really brave. But any of us have ever bought a one-way ticket, know there's a one-way ticket back. Available on Expedia, Orbitz, Kayak, at any moment. So it's really not that wild. Most of us that are doing this don't own a lot of stuff. So when you're saying you're shipping all your stuff, it really only means two suitcases at the most. So it's kind of fake. Well, we moved everything we had. Dude, you don't own a couch, you don't own a bed, you don't own a car, you don't own anything. You just have old clothes in that suitcase, and they can be shipped back at any time. Oh no, dude, I'm totally going on a pilgrimage. We're moving to California, one-way tickets. How many of us know it's like to have a backup plan in your mind the whole time you're obeying God? But how many of us know it's like to fake it to your buddies and give them the bravado faith speech and telling them how much faith they need to have when you barely believe the very thing God just told you 400 times? And how many of us know what it's like to give someone a faith speech and you go to bed that night and hate yourself and don't even know your own identity, but you're over just telling them how great they are and how amazing, they just need to accept their beauty, and you look in the mirror that night, don't like your hips, and melt down? How many of us know what it's like to give a speech that you can't quite live up to? Is there anyone like me in the room? Oh, thank God. Okay. I thought I was the only one with these aberrant behaviors. How many men in this room know exactly what it's like to give your buddy the warrior speech, how he really is Braveheart, who really is the latest, you know, military movie, Art of War, whatever, you know, Heart of the Champion, you know, Warrior with a Spear, whatever the movie is that you just saw in your room, and he really is the epicenter of all that is manly, and he is the one. He's David. And he finally accepts the speech. He goes back to his room with tears in his eyes. And you walk back. And in your mind, you're like, I really wonder why I'm on the planet. So unbelief is a disease. Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to reality. Unbelief is a disease. It's an aerial born assassin that's awaiting your every move to make fun of you, to get you to not believe. The enemy is Satan is wearing a huge badge that says, I didn't believe. And dude, he's going to a bottomless pit. It's not fun. He sees heaven. He sees Jesus. He sees all that could have been. And he's not on the winning team. And so the only thing he can do is, I want to make them as miserable as me. I want no one to believe. Let's make another wilderness generation. And Jesus, the compelling one, is like, oh, that's such a joke. This generation is filled with so much faith, they're going to call your bluff, and they're going to operate in great faith. So there I was. I get off the plane in California. We were doing this great outreach. How many of us know, or about to find out, that just because you go on outreach doesn't mean that when you land in that nation, you get boatloads of faith? Meaning emotional faith, like, whoa, I'm flying high. This is so fun walking around 9 hours looking for a treasure hunt moment. This is super stoked. I'm great. Like, you don't magically change. You don't all of a sudden don't want a good meal. You don't all of a sudden don't want a shirt that matches your pants. You all of a sudden don't want your hair to actually have some semblance of order. It's not like all that goes away. Are you hearing this?
Yeah.
There I'm in California, staying in a hotel. I'm like, okay, well, this is great. You know, we'll just kind of make our final decision in 3 weeks. How many of us know what it's like to put a fake deadline on your decision to temporarily delay it when the Lord told you what to do already? So then you start doing the, how many of us have ever done the confusion deal? You fake out your friends. You totally know why you're on the planet, but you start saying you're confused. But you're really not confused at all. But you know if you say out loud to them what you really heard, they're going to hold you to it. And so if you really say what you mean, then the game's over, and now you got to go do it. Right? Every guy in the room knows what that's like that's ever married. If you're married in here, I don't know, a lot of people are married tonight. But if you're single, you know when you finally say, you're like 20, 21, 22, you go, you know what, that one girl, she's been on my mind for like 4 months. The minute you say it to your guy roommates, they will make you call her. They will make you go to her house. They will make you plan a meal with her. It is over. As soon as you say it, it's over. Have you seen Samantha? Oh, dude. That's it right there. You just said it. Lifetime marriage. She's it. We've seen it. Now you see it. Now you get it. All right, let's do it. Who's got her number? We'll call. Who wants to Facebook her? Dude, let's get this thing done. Let's wrap this thing up. Passivity's going to kill you. Get on it. The minute you say it, it's over. Isn't it true? The minute, right, girls? The minute you say, you know, that one guy, I don't know. What's his story? Every girl around you will say, oh, I could see you guys together big time. This is it right now. You're it. This is it. Ewan, oh man, I'm telling you, I had a dream 14 years ago. And in that dream, a blonde-haired girl, and are you blonde? Yes. And is he dark-haired? Yes. And you both met in a place, and there was a palm tree in the dream. Duh, it's in Hawaii. You guys are it. How many babies do you think you want to have with this man? And you just said his name. You weren't thinking about weddings, marriage, and kids. But you know, and that's why when you're smart, you don't say it in the wrong time. Because now with social media and everything we have, man, as soon as you say it, it is said to a lot of people in seconds. Are you hearing this? So we hold back. We're kind of learned because of our culture and media and what we're around. Don't quite say it, because as soon as you say it, someone's going to tweet it. Someone's going to... Are you with me tonight? That's exactly right. So what happens with faith is the culture of unbelief wants to saturate us a little bit, take the buzz off of our wildness, so we really wouldn't say what we really actually believed for many years about why we're on the planet. I don't think there's one person in one chair tonight that has signed on since youth to have a boring life. I don't think there's one person here that signed up to have a casual life. I don't think one person here has signed up to live in the lines. I don't imagine one of you has ever said, you know what, I would really like to have a calling that is completely normal, that involves no bravery and no faith and doesn't change the world. Your generation was born on the earth with a cry, we want to dent the universe while we are alive on the earth. And it's all over the earth, guys. It's in every nation. Every young person is feeling the same intensity. So the transition is from guys like me, I'm a dad, I'm a papa to you guys. I'm a coach. I'm just coaching, dudes. You guys are the players in the game. It's your generation that's going to take our breath away. Once you check into this game, my Lord, what you guys are going to do is going to take Jesus' breath away. He's pre-wired you. He's pre-made you. He's put in you spectacular ideas and creativity. And it's unbelief that challenges it. So there I was in California. Guess what? People weren't like running to find Jesus instantly. No one was busting down to my house. I didn't have a house. We moved 13 times in 4 months. Lindy was in all those moves. The early guys were in all those moves. How many of us know that when you're married with four kids and kids are in school, that moving 14 times, we lived in like six different hotels, like borrowed houses, anything we could, because we moved somewhere we couldn't afford. So we couldn't afford California. Isn't that a bummer when you move somewhere and you can't afford it? So we can't afford it. We land in California. We end up finally in Huntington Beach in a rented house that took so many of us to co-sign to have enough income for the landlord to believe that we could afford it. How many of you guys have W-2 statements? Or remember with pay stubs? Do you guys have pay stubs? Man, if you're a missionary with a pay stub, I'd like to meet you. So when the landlord says, what's your pay stub? You're like, pay what? Proof of income, dude. Proof? Dude, I live on faith. You're out of here. We had to sign on all of our faith on the dotted line and convince them that we were legitimate and we could all be there. And then we moved in a house all together. Our record, our world record for living in our five-bedroom house, really it's six, kind of, is 26 people, but really 31. There was a record night that no one knows about that I counted. They were in the garage. So how did I get from here? No, seriously, come on, guys. I was in Kona. This is amazing. Now I'm in California. I'm in Orange County. I'm in Huntington Beach. I have 26 guys living in my house. I'm chronically ill. My wife's chronically ill. We're trapped in our bedroom with wild revolutionaries living in every bedroom with wild ideas every 4 seconds. They want to change California and every nation of the world. And we're saying, how did we get here? Now we're here. And really, your generation began to serenade by living in our house that there was a reality of salvation for our nation. And all of a sudden, something sparked in all of our hearts, and we started to believe. Isn't that wild? It was a mixture. It was a mixed bag moment. And so we got this desire in our hearts to go to every university in California. And we would do tours and we would go to them. And we would we put up a tent just a week ago. And it was filled. We couldn't believe it. And Heidi Baker took our breath away. And it was so much unity and so many things were happening. And I'm telling you, it's an allegory to you that if two very ill people could go to America, live in a house with 26 people at times, travel to universities and find nothing but starving university students that wanted to know Jesus. Miracles that would happen in every single campus the same. Nobody not wanting Jesus. Then if it could happen there, then there's no other state and there's no other nation that is probably not exactly feeling the same thing. There is a great move of God in the ground on the earth. And so tonight we've got, guys, you got to help me, man. I don't know how your DTS has been going. I've been so wild this summer with Andy and the crew. We're coming in here on borrowed strength and oxygen tanks, and we're just trying to drag ourselves to the finish line. But I've got enough faith tonight to tangle with your unbelief. So guys, would you help me tonight? I can't coach you into greatness unless you decide. Man, do you believe there's a harvest at the door for your generation? Do you believe? No, seriously, like friend to friend now, not student to teacher and DTS week massive leader to, you know, you guys. No, like buddies, like friends, like family, like dudes. Do you believe with all of your heart, literally, that God has called you specifically by name? And you may not have all the details, but you have a lot more details than you're admitting tonight to me. Is that not true? You're kind of a little guarded on saying really what's down underneath that tank. But the truth is you got a freaky, wild idea that is so crazy that if it was actually really done, a whole bunch of people would be affected. Wherever you're headed, not only in this DTS, but for the rest of your life. So what I found out, guys, is that unbelief is everywhere. As soon as you declare the wild thing that Jesus is saying, you will find the super unbelief guy or gal to come over and just basically step on your dream. So I had to find out, is there a way to live unbelief free? How many of us hate the party crasher? But I don't want to live up and down like this. I wanted to soar in Jesus because I knew I was going to have to live in a neighborhood of party crashers because they're everywhere in every neighborhood. Whoa. And that's exactly what I'm asking you to do tonight. Are you ready to ban any excuse for living in unbelief? Because that's where the Holy Spirit came to me and he goes, dude, you're making excuses, man. Brian, I told you an enormous mobilization movement was coming for America. An enormous harvest was coming for America. And if it means America, then I'm saying every nation in the world. Will you believe me? I go, I do, Lord, but sometimes guys come around with negativity. I didn't ask about those guys with negativity. I asked, what do you believe? And so we're talking about developing an excuse-proof, faith-filled, radical culture that says salvation in Jesus is the answer for every person in every nation. Do you believe that with all of your heart? Yeah. Jesus is so compelling that when presented, he's basically irresistible. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
That no one is saying they don't want an encounter with Jesus anywhere on the earth. People don't want an encounter with religion and rules and orthodoxy that makes them frustrated. They want to meet Jesus of the gospel. And when they meet Jesus of the gospel, they freak out. They may be grumpy for a day, freak out on how it fits into what they believe, but they can't shake Jesus. He won't let them go. Is it possible that just like it was in that sexual revolution, there's a Jesus love revolution on the earth that is so filled with crazy, just wild, reckless abandonment of presenting the love of Jesus Christ to every person and singing it over every radio that every person is about to hear Jesus Christ sung to them? And you are here in this discipleship training process to get rocked and ready to maybe become a trainer in this, to become an evangelist in it, to become a musician in it, to become a creative sort in it. But every one of you is part of the portrait that God is painting. And tonight is your moment to say it's time. So how did I do it? Well, the first thing I had to do was hate unbelief. And I started calling it sin. Now, I know there's big sins, you know. We all know what the big sins are. I don't know what they are, but everybody has a list, right? Like addiction is a big sin, you know. You got to bring that up, you know. He's addicted to something. Wow. Jesus is way more addicting. Next. That guy has a whole sexual thing going on. Oh. Wow. That's wild. I'm sure Jesus has never met anyone like that before. It's totally a huge issue. Let's go home. Those guys believe like crazy philosophies that mix 14 religions together. Oh, wow. You turn Saul to Paul. I'm sure he's totally unable to do it again because these guys believe in 14 crazy different religions mixed into one. Is it possible that they could become some of the brightest minds? Well, this guy's a complete crazy atheist. He doesn't believe in anything. Whoa. So he's totally filled with Jesus right now. He'd say there wasn't a God. No, dude, he hasn't ever experienced anything. Of course he's an atheist. I would be one too. Why don't we present Jesus to him and see if it freaks him out? There's more atheists on earth now because Jesus has been presented less. Duh. It's not an issue. It's an easy solution. Jesus.
That's right.
Right? There's more sick people on the earth than ever before. Aren't there new diseases being made up all the time? He has zoroastrianism. What is that? It's a new disease they just figured out. It's when the toes tingle between 3 and 4 in the afternoon, and a headache is after dark, but only on a full moon. And they're developing medicine for it. There's so many sicknesses. Well, that's what happens when Jesus the miracle worker isn't presented. So is it possible? No, seriously, come on, man. Is it possible, friends, that unbelief is a sin? And that maybe it's bigger than all this stuff. It's like the dreaded sin that can totally wreck your life. You know, have you ever focused on the wrong thing? I've made my life focused on two things: loving well and believing Jesus. That's my deadly combination. Love and faith. And hope is never far. Culture of faith is yours. So why don't we just shred all unbelief tonight in the wildest way if you would give yourself to it. Okay, the first thing is this. We cannot live on what we feel. We have to live on what we believe. And of course we will feel many things, but truth first, feeling second. Do you believe Jesus Christ loves you with insane, desirous, wildly, passionate, never-ending, filled with forgiveness, unrelenting, never not chasing you, never not excited to see you, never not excited to hear from you, never not excited to answer your prayer, never not excited to see you walk in the room? You take his breath away from the beginning to the end. You've always been that. Do you believe that is true? And when you believe it, and you see it in Scripture, and you say, Jesus, you really do love me, then you begin to experience it in thousands of ways the rest of your life, all the time. So the first thing we want to start with tonight is that we really are loved. And we really, really are loved. Are you in?
Yeah.
Say it with me. I'm loved. And that's how I roll. Is every single day I believe I'm totally loved by Jesus. You know, David knew he was loved. That's why he was always stoked. He wrote the Psalms. He had the permalove. He got it. He didn't flow in and out of love. He was always in that love. Paul knew about that love. John knew about that love. The guys in Hebrews 11 knew about that love. They believed Jesus and they swung for the fences. So all of us are in that love. Number two. So we're saying bad moods really don't need to happen very often, do they? We don't need to have those happen to us. Number two is faith. The second thing I want you to ban is you got to believe this, that God has put everyone in your life. That's it. Don't wrestle with God anymore about who he's put in your life. They're there. Love them. That's it. They're there. That's your crew, man. That's your team. If you're grumpy about it, forget it, man. That's it. It's done. That's your crew. They've been sent. Roll with them. Love them. Anyone can point out their weaknesses and all their mistakes and how they don't get it. You're the one that points out what Jesus sees in them the rest of your life. It's called love. So we're signing on for our crew, our guys, our team, our sisters, our brothers. We're signing on that God has sent them, and we're going to be radical in faith. Withholding is over tonight. We're going to rock them with crazy, unrelenting, passionate sentences and a lifestyle of crazy love. So number two, say it out loud with me. My team
has been sent by God.
If that's true, you'll celebrate a whole lot more. Consternation is over tonight in Jesus' name. That means that in my life, I love the Sugar Rider team in the summer because it's like heaven on earth. You get to live with all these wild ones all summer long. It's so fun. It's a perfect thing. God just, he signs all of them. It's just the most amazing family. It's just the most delightful aspect of doing it in the summer. I have such a hard time sometimes just going back to my house and sleeping because you want to talk another 10 minutes to someone because it's so much fun to be around them. One of the most amazing things on earth is the joy-filled friendships that are right in front of all of our faces, the family that God has given us. He's given us our parents. He's given us our brothers and sisters. He's given all of us this room, our pastors from at home. That's all part of the family. And by faith, we're moving from all criticism into crazy wild love tonight. Say it with me. Criticism is unbelief. We're getting there now. You see, it just had to take some time together. Jesus is such an awesome God, isn't he? But seriously, dudes, criticism is a form of unbelief. How many of us have ever criticized anything later to understand it and regretted you criticized it? You got hit with the bug, dude. Unbelief. Just snuck your faith right out of your pocket. And you went into pocket criticism. What's pocket criticism? It's saying what everybody else says. You got to be the one that doesn't say it. You got to be the one with the culture of faith. Says, no way, man. I'm not giving into that. I'm giving into Jesus right now. And maybe there's something we're missing in this story. Let's find out. I'm not as bothered as you. Let's start loving that guy. How many of us know, I'm almost done, what it's like to be put in a box? We are banning box putting in. We don't want people to be put in boxes by criticism or judgment or two prejudged conclusions. We want every person to soar in the culture of faith. Everyone makes it. Everyone gets there. I believe Jesus is going to use you. That's our culture. So say it with me. Criticism.
Criticism.
Isn't that just an ugly word? It stinks, man. We all hate that word. Don't you hate it? I can feel your hatred towards it. Don't you literally hate it? It's so common to be critical. It's so uncommon to be filled with faith. Jesus loved so much because he believed the Father. Perfect faith. Okay, the next one. The culture of faith, okay, is a culture where all of us in this room, all of us, are signing on right now, all of us together, that all criticism is gone, all boundaries are gone, walls between each other are gone. We're going to start saying what God has told us with confidence. There's no one beyond saving. There's no nation that can't experience wild things from Jesus. There's no university that can't be touched by Jesus. There's no high school that can't be touched by Jesus. There's no junior high that can't be touched by Jesus. There's no prison that can't be touched by Jesus. There's no closed nation that can't be opened by Jesus. There's no sickness that cannot be healed by Jesus. There is no addiction that cannot be cured by Jesus. There is no dry heart that cannot be tenderized by Jesus. There's no rage that cannot be turned around into love by Jesus. There is no war that cannot be ended by Jesus. There is no form of biases that cannot be healed by Jesus. There's no form of racism that cannot be healed by Jesus. There is no separatism that cannot be brought into unity by Jesus. There is no marriage that cannot be brought back together by Jesus. There are no child that is beyond Jesus healing their little hearts. There is no church that can't be brought into revival by Jesus. There is no denomination that is outside the boundaries of revival of Jesus. There are no people groups that Jesus cannot bring into the kingdom. There is no gender that Jesus likes more than another. He loves the woman and the man. He loves them all. He loves the child. He loves the old man. There's no generation more special to Jesus. There's not an older man that's not more special than a younger man. Jesus will bring revival to 90-year-olds, 80-year-olds, 100-year-olds, 70-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 30-year-olds. There's no more special person on the earth. Every single person Jesus can do anything with at any time. What you are on the earth for is to catalyze love and to catalyze Jesus and to catalyze faith and to walk around as the one who believes in the invisible God. Yeah. And says he's really alive. And the book that I read, the Bible, explains who he is. And I read about him. And I've experienced him. And you can experience him too. And boldness is when you've met Jesus. And you make him so beautiful to a generation they can't resist it. Oh, to live this way. Watching some totally depressing political report and go, oh, but Jesus has a different kingdom. Watching people beat themselves up on some radio show. Oh, but Jesus sings a different song. Watching someone sing a secular song that's filled with all kinds of language and terrible lines. And go, oh, what would Jesus do with that poet if he'd reached his heart? Oh, I'm so unintimidated by that. You just start reaching into people's lives with crazy faith saying, oh, man, dude, yeah, I know. I see what your pain is. I see what you're writing. But Jesus, man, I'm telling you, you start exploding with holy boldness. A generation will write songs. There is no reason that music that you write cannot be on secular radio all over the world. There is no invisible line. I'm telling you, the next great frontier is the songs of Jesus being sung on every radio station in the world. It's not going to be just Christian radio. Mark my words, the compelling sounds that will point to Jesus are going to be written by thousands of artists. It's going to be a new genre of music. It's about to start, and it's going to erupt in the fields all around the world, and people are going to be singing songs they don't even know, and then they're going to get freaked out, and they're going to have stuff's going to happen to them. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. Oh, man, guys. I long for you to experience faith. So much more exciting. And I feel it in your bones, man. So I'm just thinking if there's anything else I need to tell you before I go. You know, I'm confident in you. I really believe you guys are it. You can do this. I think you got to bond with your teammates now. It's time to bond with them. Really just go for it. Say those special things to each other that you need to say. Affirm each other. No withholding. Get together in your holy huddles. Don't hold back now. It's over. No holding back. Just give it all. Give everything now. Just no holding back. The lonely person in the room, lonely girl, lonely guy, that's fine. Your friends are coming for you. We're going to pull you out. You're coming. You don't feel anything yet? It's okay. We're coming. It's okay. You've been through a lot, and we're coming all the way. This team around you is going to reach you. We're all invading with Jesus' love. There's radical faith in all of our hearts. The destination that your DTS is going has been handpicked by Jesus. So you're on a collision course with wild results. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
You got your passport?
Yeah.
Bag's almost packed?
Yeah.
Is that right? So fall in love. Fall in love with Jesus one more time tonight. Fall in love with each other. And let unbelief just sail out of this room, man. Is anybody still angry? Stuff's happened to you, man. I get it. You've been punched. Me too. But we've just decided to do something different with it than the rest of the world. We've decided to make that punch part of our victory. And it gave us compassion. It gave us mercy. Our numbness was turned into a poem. Right? And now we know how to talk to people that are numb. Every one of you is a beautiful picture. An original art form. Birthed by God. Assigned to this time zone. In history. Right? You're from the future. You got beamed back to now. It's your time to rumble. So what are you going to believe for? Guys, you got to believe for salvation, for breaking out. Christians, falling in love with Christians. Total family unity, love revolution all the way. And no withholding anymore. Men, would you find other guys? Don't let this weekend without you saying that important thing to that guy. Tell him, man. Tell him you love him. Right? Yeah. Ladies, don't fold your arms with each other. Reach out to each other. Jealousy's a spoof. It's not real. No one's jealous of you. People just hurt. People hurt from their story. Break down those walls, ladies. Come on. Reach across those walls. You're not alone. You got hit. You got stuff happened to you. But that's done now. Let those walls down. You let them down now. Let them down now. Ladies, let them go. You can trust your sisters. Okay? This is a coaching moment, right? Let those walls down. Let there be faith. God's assigned you to Kona, Hawaii to let your walls down for your future and for your children and for where you're headed. So walls are banished tonight in Jesus' name. A lot of our generations that have gone before us have fallen in the ditch. They've had hard things happen. But we're going to redeem that. Whatever that was, you're on the earth to paint that story beautiful. So if you come out of a divorce situation or a broken home, you're part of the painting story to redeem that story into one of the most beautiful stories that have ever been written. And that's what faith is all about. So we're all getting on our horse tonight, Circuit Rider horse. What is a Circuit Rider horse? Dude, it's a plane, it's a bus, it's a car. And everywhere you go on the earth, from this day forth, you're going to activate love because you're filled with faith. You're going to activate people to believe when they had no reason to believe. Everywhere you go from this moment forward, whatever the nation, whatever the city, whatever the neighborhood, you're going to be the one that sticks out like a sore thumb because you show up every single time with a big, bright smile and a different report than everyone else. Everyone says, God can't. And you say, hey, buddy, God can. Everyone's going to say, God doesn't, you're going to show up and say, but he still does. People are going to show up and say, there ain't no way. And you're going to be the one person who shows up to the PTA board in the future and says, but I love all of you, and I've got a funny feeling this is going to be the best year ever. I love you. You're always going to be the one that sticks out like a sore thumb. So faith, arise. You've been the round peg your whole life. Just quit trying to fit in. Stick out now. So I'm going to pray for you that you start enjoying how wild you are. I don't know if you totally do, but a papa wants his kids to feel love. My longing for you tonight is that you would feel and live in the wild love of Jesus Christ with the wildest faith. So stand up. We're going to shred unbelief. You pray out loud with me? Yeah. Let's clear our voices. I wasn't here today. I'm sure you guys are a loud bunch. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But on three, as loud as you can, would you just say unbelief? Unbelief is over. Just say it. Go for it. One, two, three, say it. Okay. So the first thing we're going to say out loud is every personality in this room is perfect. Every personality. Oh, but I'm a quieter one. Of course. Jesus likes you that way. Oh, I'm kind of loud and I always interrupt. I know. We like that. I'm not sure even what my personality is. I know. We do. It's amazing. I'm not sure. It's all right, man. Every one of us was made perfectly by Jesus. Okay, it's impossible for Jesus to paint a picture that you wouldn't want to buy. So he painted you and he built you. Every molecule and every detail. And this is the time that he chose for you to live. So we're all in on faith. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, come. Unbelief, you have shredded this generation long enough. And we ask tonight this room would move out of doubt and caution and hesitation and insecurity and all those negative things that just kill us. We hate them. They make us miserable, Lord. They stole so much of our fun. All that anxiety. We're sick of worrying. We're sick of it, God. And we ask for divine intervention tonight that you would change us, God. We need a miracle tonight. So would you all say, I need a miracle. Jesus, help me as loud as you can. Christy, you want to help me? So this is a rare moment that Christy and I are going to pray for you. That we are together. I know I told you I wouldn't do it. I told you I wouldn't do it, but I lied.
Okay.
I always lie to you. That's why we're married. I can't do anything without her, and I always tell her I can do it. And then I end up needing her. So we have a great... Let's pray together, Christy. This is such a special group. I know you feel it.
Thank
you. Guys, I just... As we're praying for you, man, I'm telling you, this is... Jesus is beaming down. Like, you've got to get in your spirit that you're the heroes. This is the generation... Jesus is so excited about your generation. He's so excited by each of you by name. So come on, man, wear that love. He's proud of you. He loves you. He's going to help you get out of this unbelief right now. He's been wanting to help you for a long time. He just needed you to admit it's killing you. And once we have, that's called humility, right? When we admit it's killing us, then Jesus jumps in and he fixes things quick. Are you there? So we're all in on humility. Like, God, we're telling you the truth. This doggone unbelief's been killing me for too long. I've done so many things. I can't seem to get rid of it. I can't shake it. I need your help. So would you let there be a roar of like total honesty? That's just humility. Tell the truth about it. How much it's been robbing you. Everyone, just like telling your father, it's been killing me, Jesus. You know, you've been with me. I don't know how to fix this. I need your help. And then we're going to pray for God to bring the solution, okay? So everybody just pray for 20 seconds. Authentic, your own words. Just, God, I just need you. You know, I'm stealing my, worried about my future, worried about money. I feel insecure. I am introspective. I walk in a room. I always feel subconscious. Lord, I need a rescue tonight. Get me out of the unbelief swirl into faith. Get me out of this unbelief. It's killing me. I'm sick of feeling bad about myself. I'm sick of hating myself. God, help me, help me, help me, help me. Pray an honest prayer to Jesus, would you? Like, go for 20 seconds of the most honest prayer. Go, 1, 2, 3, let's pray honest prayer. Okay, we are all family, and we know when we pray together in humility, for the rest of your life, remember this, when you have a family, when you're in your neighborhood, dudes, as soon as you pray with humility, answers are coming in. Jesus loves humility, loves honest discussions. He is such a champion of the honest one. So Jesus, we've told you about our unbelief, and Christy and I worked together. If you've never been around Christy, she hears from God in such a precise way. That it's taken my breath away and so many leaders around the world. And so Christy's hearing the first thing. Can I share it, Christy?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you share the second one, okay?
Okay.
We're just going to close our eyes, close your eyes, and let's just be with Jesus. Are you guys there? The big picture is what interrupts our faith is like emotional traffic. The big picture is like emotional traffic in our minds. It's like our minds get busy And things begin to happen in our minds that take us away from the reality of who we really are in Christ. So our minds get hit with things, you know, like things just enter in, thoughts, and all of a sudden we lose our stability of our faith. And so God wants to give us the three basic ways that our faith gets stolen from us so we can build up our defense walls against that unbelief that's everywhere on the earth. The demon of unbelief, who knows where he lives? But the doggone demon is pretty loud. He's all around and he's always saying stuff, okay? So what we're trying to do is build a foolproof system so when that temptation of unbelief comes around, we've got a judo chop move. Number one, regret. It's like this. You can't believe you're 98% saved. You have to live in faith in 100% salvation. You're saved to the uttermost. There cannot be any regret in salvation. That means all of your past and everything you've ever done is whitewashed in the blood. There is no regret. If you got mad at 4 o'clock today, there is no regret. There is no regret. And regret always wants us to look backwards and not forward. And so we're saying, God, we're looking forward to you and Jesus. So that means you slept with 37 people. You partied your guts out. You've hurt people. You've been nasty and mean at times. You were the cause of certain things. Dude, when you're in Christ, there is a regret-proof lifestyle. You are done with regret. Because you are saved from regret. Because salvation saves you utterly from all things. That's why salvation is so great. So we can't walk around like we're 97% saved. We are 100% saved and completely whitewashed in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no remorse. There's no looking back. There's nothing we have to undo. Jesus Christ has saved us.
Yeah.
Say it with me. Regret.
Regret
is from Satan. It really is. He loves us to go back over memory lane. Jesus has whitewashed our memories.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord for salvation.
Yes.
It is done. Would you say it with me? That's what we want to sing to the whole earth, to everyone that gets saved. It is done.
Yeah.
1, 3, 1, 2, 3.
It is. So
we want everyone else to get saved and experience it. But what about us? We want to experience fullness of salvation. So you have. Don't let regret pickpocket the joy of your salvation. There is no regret. You are regret-proof in Christ. All in three. 1, 2, 3. Look forward. 1, 2, 3.
Look forward.
That means I'm looking forward to life. Right? I'm looking forward to what Jesus has in my life. I'm not looking backwards. I'm looking forward. In Jesus' name. So let's pray this out. Lord, forgive me for all regret.
Lord, forgive me for all regret.
For doubting my salvation.
For doubting my salvation.
My salvation is full in Christ.
My salvation is full in Christ.
And see, this is going to give you more confidence to preach the gospel. Because partial regret preachers preach partial gospels. And full gospels come from joy-filled, wild, celebratory followers of Jesus that have had their sins whitewashed by Jesus. They tend to be wilder about Jesus than people that are carrying a little bit of shame and a little bit of joy. Say with me, Mr. Shame!
Mr. Shame!
Finished!
Finished!
So we're done with shame. So Christy, what's the second thing? Let's stay in prayer.
Okay, number two. Remember, we're on the topic of emotional traffic.
Yes.
And we're talking about a door that is actually opened to unbelief. So these are things that are blocking faith. So the second thing is confusion.
Yes.
That comes from looking at how God and the Holy Spirit is moving through others.
That's right. I love that.
And so when comparison enters in,
yep, kills you.
You can be inspired by it, or you can self-doubt.
Oh, I hate that one. I'm emoting it. I'm feeling exactly what you just said. And I'm feeling when I've done it, Christy, exactly how miserable I start to feel. Comparison is unbelief. Oh, man, I just got free in my mind. Anyone else say, I'm free right now? If you see, when you see, sisters, when you see your sister do something spectacular, don't then evaluate whether or not who you are, what you can do. Just celebrate it wildly, dude. Comparison just robs you. The unbelief guy steals your purse. It's over, guys, when your buddy starts saying crazy stuff and was like stoked. Don't go, oh, I wonder what part I play in the play. That's not, no, that stinks, man. It just rocks your faith, and you've got no, oh, man. Are you all in?
Yeah.
Let's say it out loud. I hate comparison.
I hate comparison.
Oh, say it again. It's so fun. One more time. It's almost like it just stole so much. It's like we're mad, Christy.
Yeah, so good.
How many women in this room are just mad about it? Just like, it's like, I hate that thing.
Yeah.
Say it with me, women. If you're a lady in the room, say, I hate that thing.
I hate that thing.
I know you feel it. Do you feel that, guys? You feel their hatred of it?
Yeah.
Man, what about you? Like, the drought is over. You don't need to be like Clint Eastwood to your buddies or whatever, whoever your new hero is, the silent treatment. Dude, get stoked about your buddy. Stop thinking about it too much. Celebrate everyone's victory and you'll have plenty yourself. Every guy right now, are you guys with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, deep dark voice. Yeah. Say it with me, men. Celebrate!
Celebrate!
My brother's victories!
My brother's victories!
Yeah, so comparison, so I'll pray it out. I ask forgiveness.
I ask forgiveness.
For giving in to comparison.
For giving in to comparison.
And I am forgiven.
And I am forgiven.
That's called humility because, you know, we've done it. Now we told Jesus we did it. And he's like, oh, man, you guys, you admitted it. I love it. Ah, that's so cool. I love it. I can help you now. That's what repentance does. Okay, let's get the third thing, Christy.
Uh-huh. Okay, the third thing is entitled Eating Crumbs.
Entitled Eating Crumbs.
Eating Crumbs.
Why do I love it already?
So the verse goes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Oh yeah, I've read it.
And so when we start eating crumbs from other people's revelation.
Oh, it stinks. I hate that part.
It does. But when you are before the Lord in the word of God, even
crumbs.
If it's time, just for a few verses. This is how God speaks to us. This is how we get illumination. This is where our faith is fed. So no eating crumbs.
Conviction City. Christy, thank you. All right, how many of us in this room have been eating crumbs besides me? Come on, don't leave me up here alone, man. Shout crumbs!
Crumbs!
Shout, they stink!
They stink!
Every one of us has been made to have a revelation of Jesus through the Bible.
Yeah.
So we're going to read the Bible, Christy, and get wild revelation. We're not going to be eating off each other's crumbs. Say it out loud. God will speak to everything!
God will speak to everything!
Say it again! Have you ever had crumb cake, Christy?
Yeah, like I have. It's pretty messy.
I don't really understand crumb cake. And who invented it, do you? I mean, it sounds like it's an unbelief cake. We'll have to ask the Lord about it. But, like, what have you been eating, dude? Man. You're a son of the Most High. You're a daughter of the Most High. You're royalty.
Yeah.
And so he's given you the Bible, which is the greatest gift that he could have given the earth, is his living word. And every one of us can get boatload sail on revelation every single day. I don't get anything out of the word. Yes, you do. Stop lying about it. You do get tons out of the word. Don't say you don't get it. Oh, I've been reading it forever and I don't get it. Please, save the speech. You've been getting tons. The word never comes back void.
Yeah.
So we're going to just roar on this one, guys. Do you guys believe Jesus is the truth?
Yes.
He's the way and the life. And so every one of us here, I'm telling you, this is so worth it, Christy. We're done eating off another man's table. We're just chasing Jesus.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
All right, lean into God. Let's lean into him. This is a lifetime revelation. If you chase Jesus, you're going to be just like faith-filled the rest of your life. Don't chase another man. Don't chase another woman. Chase Jesus.
Yeah.
Are you in?
Yeah.
Are you in? Did you get it?
Yeah.
On three, we're chasing you, Jesus. On three. One, two, three.
We're chasing you, Jesus!
On three, I'm chasing you, Jesus. On three. One, two, three. On three, I'm done with crumbs. Okay, let's see if we're done. That's how rare Christy's at with things with me. Let's make sure it's sealed because we usually have to call her to help us. Let's see if it's sealed. Will you guys pray it out? God, is it done? Just everybody in the room, just say, God, is the work done tonight? Just pray it out. God, is it done? Is there anything else? Just pray to God. Say, God, is there anything else? We want to seal this work. Yeah, Chrissy's getting good download. The Bible says that we've been given a spirit, not a spirit of timidity, right? A spirit of love. Is that right? Power. Self-discipline. So a lot of the battle on unbelief is in the category of self-discipline. And so the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has given us self-discipline. And so every one of us has self-discipline by the Holy Spirit's power. So we're asking the Holy Spirit for radical help right now. For the craziest self-discipline of our thought life to come down in this room. And that we would be able to fight and fight and fight and hold the line until new habits are formed in our life of living a life of faith. And self-discipline is from the Holy Spirit. And he already lives inside of you. So unleash the cannons of your prayer and say, Jesus, help me. Pray an honest prayer. Help me, help me, help me, Jesus. I need more self-discipline. And check it out. He's going to answer you so fast. It's going to be freaky. You're going to have a new discipline in your life. So let there be a roar. Help me, Holy Spirit. I need more self-discipline. Let's do it for 30 seconds. Everyone praying. One, two, three. Let's pray. Funny, we see this vision. This is funny. That this is great. I think God speaks to us today. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
It's this funny, really comical picture. It's like the enemy's standing in this door, and he's like super teeny. You know, like embarrassingly teeny. And the door is just massive. He's standing at that. Like he was. The whole spoof was how big he really thought he was. So all we got to do is stay away from that door. See that he's standing in. The door of unbelief. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like not a big deal. Run to self-discipline. Run to new thought patterns. The enemy's just tiny. You got it in the Holy Spirit, man. You've got this. And so we're all going to pray. This is not going to be as hard as I think. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All, we're calling the spoof together. This is not,
this is not
as hard
as I think.
Because of Jesus, the enemy is tiny.
I have the Holy Spirit.
I have the mind of Christ.
I have been given self-discipline
to take thoughts captive.
Regret is gone.
I am saved.
comes.
No more crumbs.
I'm feeding on Jesus.
I'm feeding on Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. We're going to give the Lord just a celebration. But Christian, I love you. We're proud of you guys. We're so grateful when we get to be around all of you. We're super happy. Man, you guys just did it tonight. I can't believe the strength. I know you guys work hard around here. You go to school all day. But you came back tonight. You had the most amazing attitude. You guys had the biggest smiles. You had the most awesome determination. And it touched Christy and I. We will not forget you and forget what you did with us together. And we're going to get to hear the most amazing stories I know from this quarter. I can't wait to hear. I mean, I'm serious. I can't wait to hear what you, each of you individually, all of you are going to do. And I can't wait to hear the stories that are come from your life in the years to come. So, Christian, I just want to honor you and thank you for giving your guts this week at Corporate Week and just hanging on to fight off unbelief tonight. Is it mutual?
Yeah.
All right. Then why don't we just thank the Lord together for his great miracle tonight? That the spoof of unbelief was defeated and we're rocking it now for Jesus for the rest of our lives. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We seal this beautiful team.
Yes, Jesus.
All these beautiful schools. Oh, man. These students, Lord. They just touch your heart so deep.
Yes.
And they have just gone for it, Jesus. They've given their guts all day. And, Lord, I honor them. We honor them. But how much more do you honor them?
Yes.
We're overwhelmed with gratefulness that even Christy could come on the trip and that she was able to come tonight and just... We were able to pray together, really, for students for the first time since Orlando Circuit Rider, Christy, which was really almost 15 months ago. It was the last time you and I have ministered publicly. And due to your illness, yeah.
Wow.
You had power, girl, man. I'm telling you, those details, they're hot. Jesus' power. We missed you. So we've had a love affair tonight with Jesus. And we love you. And we love each other. And so, Lord, thank you for this family and for everyone in this room and all our staff, for Lauren and Darlene and for the amazing Kona team. How we just are so grateful that you called us to this island at this time. And so, Jesus, we want to give you a shout out tonight from childlike little kid faith that we really are whitewashed. And life is really going to be that amazing.
Yeah.
And our expectations are soaring. And so, Jesus, Papa, we want you to know we really, really, really are grateful.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what it's like to be super grateful as a little kid? That's how we are tonight. Just super grateful little kids cheering on Jesus for saving us from a life of unbelief. God, thank you for all the miraculous outcomes of all these students for the rest of their life, the nations that will be affected, the people groups that will be affected all around the world. So because of all you've done for us on three, we want to give the Lord the greatest. I love you. I thank you. Can we all do it together? As loud as you can and as wild as you can, Circuit Rider style, one for the ages, for Kona, Hawaii, a childlike thankfulness for the night that unbelief ended and faith started and we all dove off the deep end together. All in for faith, all in for risk, all in for courage. On three, let's give Jesus the thank you. One, two, three.